All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3.
Oh my, just so many business podcasts out there. How can I possibly know where to begin? Here at Intrepid Business, we are about stripping away all of the usual boring fluff and instead focus on showcasing real people doing real business, achieving amazing things. The ones truly changing the world, the instigators making a dent, the people changing how we do sales and marketing, leading innovation, the people redefining leadership. But who are these people? Why do they do what they do? How do they do what they do? Find out on Intrepid Business. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to Intrepid Business. I am your host, Todd Schnick. You guys know that I've been a marketing guy for most of my career. Even when I was back in politics, I was really in marketing. So today's conversation is just yet in another line of interesting and critically important conversations as we think about marketing, particularly in the modern world and, more importantly, where we're going in the future. So this promises to be a fun and interesting chat. I'm joined this morning by Kevin Layton. He is the CEO of Data Dynamics. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate being here today.
I appreciate you making time to join me. I know you are a busy fellow leading a big company, and so I'm grateful for your time. Before we get into our conversation, Kevin, which we have much to discuss, some interesting things to talk about, conversations we can't have enough of, frankly, take a quick second. Tell the audience a bit about you and your background, and then give us a quick overview of Data Dynamics. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Great. Well, I appreciate that. So my background actually is as a software developer. I grew up through GE and Lockheed Martin and all the defense companies, which is kind of weird when you're talking to someone who's actually running a digital marketing company. But I look at it as I used to do targeting on Intel and weapons, and now I do Intel on who are the best consumers, and I send targeted messages to them. So there's really a very good corollary there.
But I think it's the same thing.
But anyway, my background is building big systems, and what I've done with Data Dynamics over the last 2.5 years is actually build out our marketing machine so that we actually have the capability and the technology to deliver targeted email, display, banner, social messages for our clients. Now, Data Dynamics started in 1999. We started as a list brokerage, and in 2008, after almost losing our shirts, we reinvented ourselves, grew out of that, and this year we were actually recognized by the Inc. 5000 as number 1226 on the fastest growing companies in America.
Yeah, and impressive.
So we're pretty proud of that. The way we did it was working with media partners across the country. We have go-to markets in all of the 50 states with our newspaper, TV, and radio customers who actually go into the field and sell advertising to the local businesses to actually increase their volume, increase their sales, and increase their visibility on their sites. And so we're a white label provider to the media groups across the country.
Well, one of the things that I want to lead off our conversation with is this idea of how to grow your organization despite a competitive marketplace. But let me ask you that very same question with regards to Data Dynamics. I mean, the space that you're playing in and seemingly doing very, very well in is quite obviously a very competitive one. How does Data Dynamics stand out? How do you separate yourself from your competition?
That's a really good question. So I guess with us, we still treasure the relationships with our customers, and many online marketers lose the fact that there are certain foundations that you need to have in place, and among those are your web presence, your social presence, and a very clear picture of who you are, what you stand for, and why people should care and give you the time. And so We actually focus on caring about our customers and about their businesses and trying to help them grow. We give them a lot of complimentary training and a lot of support And we do 100% customer service. So we will rerun any campaign that falls short. And we do that because our customers are really important. And so if I look at today's online marketers, there's really several things that they need to have in place. They need to be ready first, must have the foundations to get your company set firmly in the mind of who your target audience is. You're not able to talk to them directly on the phone or in person, but you've got to have the right speak, the right content, the right information in advance of doing any kind of campaigns. So the foundations are pretty key. Your web page, who your target market is, your intelligence, before you even start running campaigns, or you'll waste a lot of money.
Well, you know, the first thing you said to me is where I want to go next. I mean, you and I could, as two marketing guys, we could talk for hours on these things and these tactical tools and strategies and all that. But at the end of the day, isn't it still really all about that relationship? And that's how you answered the question with regards to data dynamics.
It is.
At the end of the day, though, I still think there's too many organizations that are all ate up with the technology and the tools and the tactics. They forget that there's still a human on the other end of that interaction.
Yeah, don't forget the tools and the tactics are important, but you're really trying to talk to your clients. And your clients, they're actually listening to you online. They're listening through social media. They're listening through their email. They're listening through your searches. They're looking at who you are and what you're actually putting out there as a company without actually talking to you. And they're reaching you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So it's important to have the right message. You still can talk to your customer. You still can build a relationship online, and you can still get that trust.
Yeah, see, I think a lot of people struggle with that. It's easy for someone to understand, yeah, I can connect with someone over a phone call or over coffee, and I can build a relationship. But I think a lot of people say, how in the heck do I do that on Twitter? Now, I'm fortunate. I get it. I've done it. I understand how I can use a tool like that and build a relationship. But there's still a lot of people that haven't crossed that chasm to understand how they can do something on a digital tool yet still connect to humanity.
Well, and in fact, we deliver thousands of email messages a month. And we deliver on behalf of folks who think that they've got their messaging right. And what we see all the time is customers trying to sell, rather than actually develop a relationship and get trust and offer something of value that people need to solve a problem.
How many times have you gotten a tweet and it was the first time you connected to that person and they were pushing a link with a buy button? I mean, it's amazing to me. So you just touched on email, and I want to dive into that in a second and go a little deeper on that. I'm still thinking about that organization who, all right, they've bought off on the idea that I have to invest time, energy, passion, strategy into developing online channels. The other big challenge I suspect that you deal with when talking to your customers is, all right, of the 3,000 channels and tools that are available, how do I determine where I should be spending my limited time and perhaps cash in using the right ones to connect with that audience?
And I think that the answer really is that for every business, the channels are different.
Right.
And I think the most obvious is, if you're trying to deal business to business, LinkedIn is an amazing tool, right? An email to a LinkedIn profile is an amazing tool. If you are more socially related and you're a socially active non-for-profit, Facebook is a much better tool to use. And so those are just two examples. But I think the real key is, in the past, TV, radio, newspaper, print, magazines, and billboards all served a purpose, and they still do. The only difference today is the number of channels to deliver to people is much larger. And with the internet and with intel and data, we know where people are and we can target them better. And so our goal on the internet is to spend more efficiently, almost to a fault, because branding is still really important. All those other things, we're all branding, and branding is really important.
Well, I'm a classic case of the type of guy who I want to hate Facebook in the most sincere, passionate way, but it matters to me in my business and my ability to connect to an audience, and it drives an awful lot of traffic to my media company. And so as much as I would love for it to fail and mercilessly, it's an important place for me to spend my time and energy, and in some cases, advertising dollars. So I mean, as much as I don't want it to be that, it is that, and so thus it's important for me. Let's shift now to email. I'm sick and tired of those that say email is dying, because you and I both know that it's not. In fact, I think it's more potent and more powerful than ever. And if done right, and if you have an actual strategy behind it, which is, I think, most the problems that most people have with email marketing is that they don't have a really good articulated strategy. But there's probably some missteps that most people doing email marketing are doing. What are some of those things that they should be avoiding?
Some of the things that we need to avoid in email are some of the same things we try to avoid in direct mail. I mean, the two are almost synonymous. Only one is, you know, an electronic form of direct mail. $80 billion is spent still this year on direct mail, $2 billion a year in email marketing. There's a big, big difference between those two. And the reason really is because email is so much more efficient and it's so much more cost-effective. But just like direct mail, if you're bombarding inboxes, you're going to irritate your constituents. If you send a confusing message and they don't really understand who you are or what you stand for, that's also going to get you thrown out and you're going to get, you know, spammed, right? You're going to get hit through their spam box. If you overwhelm the customer, so in other words, if you actually are hitting them more than once a day, you're likely to overwhelm them, and they're likely to back away, and finally missing the target. So if you know who your customers are, and yet your message or your offer or your campaign is confusing, they're not going to buy from you, ever.
Right, right.
Look at the best brands, Coca-Cola satisfies thirst. They, to this day, still spend billions on advertising, and it's millions on advertising.
Yeah. All right. So the obvious points there on email, and thank you for sharing those. In my view, those are all right. I have a list, and here's what I should not do with that list. Obviously, the next important question that I get a lot, and I imagine you do as well, is how do I build my mailing list? What's the best piece of advice you can offer anyone who's trying to build and grow a mailing list to do just that?
Well, the first thing is anyone that you ever come in contact with, you know, you're going to collect them and ask them if you can send them information about your company. They've opted in. In what we do, we have a third-party list of over 220 million people who've opted in to receive promotional emails. So what we deliver are emails to third-party people who've opted in, and they have chosen to receive these offers, and we drive traffic to websites, and we actually get them there. And if your message and your offer is of interest to them, you'll be able to capture their emails. Typically, we find that that's not a one-and-done kind of a situation. So it takes consistency of your messaging in both email and in your retargeting for them to know that you're a real company. And so unless they drive by you every day and they see your building and they actually see that you exist and they see your work in a community, they don't know if you're a real company, if you're just an online business, unless they actually hear from you repeatedly and consistently, and they see who you are on social, and they see who you are in your blogs, and they see who you are in your offers.
All right. Kevin Layton and I will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by the new international best-selling book, Leadership Rigor. This groundbreaking book will turn everything you think you know about leadership upside down. Leadership Rigor explores how to achieve breakthrough performance and productivity through leading yourself, leading teams, and leading at the organizational level. Author Erica Pietler outlines for her readers how to become change-ready leaders. Change-ready leaders are capable of embracing challenges with agility and optimism because they have the tools, models, and language to assess, structure, and facilitate solutions. Leadership is a skill that can be learned and practiced. Take the rigor challenge and ask yourself, do you want to lead mindfully and skillfully? Or do you want to subject your teams and organizations to your unstructured thoughts and approaches? The choice is yours. Will you rigor it? You can purchase Leadership Rigor on Amazon or by visiting ericpietler.com.
All right, I am back with Kevin Layton, the CEO of Data Dynamics. All right, so we talked about building that digital presence at the top half of the show, Kevin. So let's go a little deeper on it. You just can't create a Twitter profile and launch a blog and dive into this thing and achieve success. You actually have to build a foundation. How do you do that?
Well, it all starts with your digital presence. It's your website. It's your social. If your social media is completely outdated and you're sending people there, they're getting the wrong impression about whether or not you're a viable business. So you've got to be lively on that. And you need to not be selling, but you need to actually be offering things that are going to be a solution to a problem. I think the next thing to do in terms of foundations is really understanding who your target audience is and where they actually reside. So do they, you know, pay attention to any particular sites? Are they folks who are constantly on their email, on their phones, on their tablets? And what's the best place to reach them? And picking those channels around who your best client is and that intelligence is really important before you even start. And then one campaign is not going to do it. You've actually got to look at multiple campaigns and put it into a sales funnel that's actually tunable based on how things progress. You may have one ad that goes gangbusters. You may have another ad that's slightly different that completely dies out after a couple of days. Doing those kinds of A/B testing is really important, and putting together a plan for how you're going to do that A/B testing and actually set up your sales funnel to have the maximum results is key in digital marketing.
Yeah, and doing this A/B testing these days, most tools that exist these days have that built into the infrastructure, so you have no excuses not to be doing some of that A/B testing. You know, Kevin, you mentioned right before the break, you uttered the word blog, and that got me thinking in terms of, obviously, the big part of the work that I do is in addition to creating my own content, I help my clients do some interesting things with the creation of content and leveraging that in ways to educate the marketplace, to use content as a means to connect to good prospects and connect to influencers. It just blows my mind that despite the fact that we're late 2015 as we record this, there's still a lot of people that struggle with and resist and fight me on the need to be on a very regular basis creating content. Let's talk about that a minute, because I think I don't think you can run good campaigns. I don't think you can build a good online presence. I don't think you can build a digital presence if you're not creating content, or at least leveraging the content that others are creating. Talk about why getting into the mode of creating content is so mission critical when you're thinking about all these things that we've been talking about today.
Well, the top reason is because there are so many people who are out there spewing information that other people are consuming. They become the trusted resource. And from that, they become the trusted company, the go-to company when they recommend a product, when they recommend a service, when they recommend a service provider. And so people are constantly searching for information. We've become the online encyclopedia gurus in our lives. And so every time, you know, we don't know the answer to a question, we get on and we search for it. And along with that, we become entrusted to certain authorities. And building authority is one of the most important things you can do online digitally. WebMD is an incredible story of an authority site that people go to for their health, one of the most important things in their lives. And everything that they recommend, whether it is drug or it is service provider, is typically trusted at face value because they are that authority. And so you need to build content to build your authority. That gets you the visibility, it gets you the looks, and then, you know, you develop the client relationships from that.
Well, yes, that is absolutely the correct answer to the question. Yeah, you do this so you build authority and become I just mentioned I help my clients connect to influencers, but when you put out content that moves and educates a marketplace, you become that thought leader that people seek out, and that leads to amazing opportunities, not just business opportunities, but other things as well. I still think people struggle with the idea of what do you mean by building authority, and it's in my view, it's simply people seek you out to get answers to questions on a subject matter that they know that you're an expert on. But an occasional tweet in a brochure that you print up 7 years ago, they ain't going to cut it. I mean, this has to be a constant process. I mean, this never ends, right?
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, one of the biggest reasons for why content is because of the Google rankings and you know, the way that they treat authority, and they treat the fact that you have multiple referral links back and forth as well as social. And so you're actually building your presence in the Google search engines to actually get you higher ranked by producing content and producing it regularly.
Well, and if you're listening to that and you say, well, what, that doesn't matter anymore. Well, I just saw something this morning that said, what is it, like 85% of the people who search for something on Google never go to page two. And so if you're not on that first page on a Google query, then you're lost and you're buried deep in the muck. Kevin, what do you say to the organization that says, oh, I just don't know what to create content about? I mean, my answer is, well, then you shouldn't be in business. But what do you say?
Well, if they came to us, we'd actually look at their business and we take a look at exactly what people are searching for. So we have tools that allow us to see what are some of the highest ranked searches across the internet. And what we would do is we'd actually try to target blog articles around those specific terms. And we try to get indexed and get authority built on Google, not overnight, but it does take several months. But we would try to actually build that reputation so that they would get to page one.
Yep. Well, I always say to people who say, oh, I don't know what kind of content to create, is that you have so much knowledge in your head, just get it out, just pour it out. I mean, and they know more than they think they know, and they're more articulate than they believe that they are. They just, for whatever reason, they're just hung up on that. So, gosh, well, Kevin, as I suspected, we could talk for hours on all this subject. It's criminal that we just have a few minutes together today. I suspect we'll have to have you back on the show down the road to continue some of these critically important conversations. But for today, we're out of time. Before I let you go, how can people contact you should they have questions and learn more about data dynamics?
You can visit our website, dynamics.com.
All right. Kevin Layton, the CEO of Data Dynamics. Kevin, really appreciate your time today. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. All the time we have for today. Again, on behalf of my guest, Kevin Layton, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next time on Intrepid Business.